Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm a curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. I'm delighted that you can join us for the Book of Common Prayer, Holy Communion. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The summary of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. We now have the collect, followed by the readings. And after that we'll have the creed.
For the 15th Sunday after Trinity, God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
The first lesson comes from Psalm 8, beginning at verse 1. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, all the birds in the sky and all the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord according to Mark, chapter 13, beginning at the 28th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon.
Over the next month or so, we at St. Margaret's are going to be having a stewardship series, when each Sunday we will be covering a different aspect of this. This week, the theme is caring for the planet. There's been a lot to occupy our minds recently, and so much to worry about. We had a summer that broke records with the heat and the drought. Looming over us now is the energy crisis, the huge rise in the cost of living, and a winter ahead when many will find it difficult just to get by. And all this follows on from 2 years of anxiety over the COVID pandemic, with all its implications. That virus is still at the back of our minds, as we worry that a variation of it may return this winter. But a much worse infection than COVID, though in the worst cases it can kill, is affluenza, a painful, contagious, and virally transmitted condition that comes from the dogged pursuit of more. We have been conditioned to think that the more we have, whether the money we earn, the cars we drive, the clothes we buy, the houses we live in, and the stuff we fill them with, the more we have, the better. We've all caught it, this affluenza. As I said, we've been conditioned to think it's the way to go. But it isn't. Affluenza is deadly because it kills the soul. It doesn't make us happier. It doesn't give us peace of mind. It doesn't do what it promises to do. And one of the main reasons why we are in such a dire situation now with global warming. I'm sorry to sound so accusing. I'm as guilty as the next person. But somehow we've got to learn that as consumers of material possessions, we are consuming the earth and eating up its resources. Attitudes have got to change, and that starts with a fundamental reassessment of our place on this planet. Look at Psalm 8, which was the first reading this morning. You, God, have made man a little lower than the angels. You have made him ruler over the works of your hands. All flocks and herds, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. We are responsible. It is our duty to God to show we are worthy of his love, that we are stewards of all life on earth, from the biggest whale to the smallest insect. Every living organism has its place, is there for a reason, and it is our duty to be mindful of all of them and accept this. Okay, I accept we have to be pragmatic about this. If a creature threatens us or causes harm, We have to protect ourselves and those we love, even though it is just following its instincts. Placards at climate change demonstrations sometimes read, "Save the planet." I think this is misconceived. The Earth has all the time in the world. We don't. The planet is not at risk. It will survive because it is full of God's creativeness. But we have a duty of care for its climate and what is on our planet. We do not have a problem with the environment. The environment has a problem with us. In the last 60 years, animals on Earth have halved in number, while the number of humans has doubled. We regard the Earth not as our home, but as our throne. We are monarchs of all we survey. We think that if we have the money, we can do what we like. This reminds me of the two passengers on a cruise ship sailing through the Arctic, as it emits vast amounts of black smoke. These passengers look over the rail at two polar bears on an ice floe. One says, "Thank God we've seen them before they become extinct." Well, whose fault is that? That's an easy one to answer. The second reading, the Gospel reading from Mark, is not an easy one to understand, but what I take from it is that we must be vigilant. Global warming can be seen as threatening judgment on human beings for failing to take care of the planet on which we live. Climate change can be seen as giving us signs of the times which warn us that judgment may be coming soon, although we do not know when. Earlier on in the chapter, Jesus talks of earthquakes and famines that are heralds of what is to come. These or similar catastrophes are already happening. They are a warning to us that we must take heed and take steps to do what we can to halt global warming or slow it down as much as possible. We must stop abusing the position that God has given us as rulers over the works of his hands, as Psalm 8 says. This was never going to be an upbeat talk when the evidence is all around us. It is more a call to arms, as it were, to start taking action ourselves. As I said earlier, attitudes have got to change, and that starts with a fundamental reassessment of our place on this planet. So what exactly must we as Christians do? Firstly, we must act as individuals. A far better slogan than "Save the Planet" is "Cut the Carbon." To cut the carbon, we need to ask ourselves about every action that we take. How much carbon dioxide does this emit? Not, "Can I afford it?" Another slogan must be, "Calculate the carbon." There are many online calculators which help us to work out what carbon dioxide we are emitting. Unless we do this, we do not know how much we need to cut. We have to think about our own individual responsibility. It is very easy to take one look at our neighbours with the gas-guzzling SUV, the foreign holidays, the house that has lights on in every room, you know the sort, and say, "What's the point of me doing my bit when they're not?" Individual responsibility, doing what your conscience tells you, that is the Christian way. Secondly, we must act corporately. This is more effective than individual actions. Jesus very rarely denounced individuals. He often forgave them. But he spoke out against corporate sin, such as that practiced by the groups of some Pharisees or of the rich. His message of justice for all, especially the poor, means that we can be inspired to be active in the fossil-free movement, for example. The billions invested even now by the big oil companies in searching for more oil is plainly helping to destroy, not conserve, God's creation. And it is the poor who are suffering much more than the rich. Our effectiveness as Christians is vastly multiplied if we can persuade investors, especially in pension funds, to divest from investments in fossil fuel companies. I admit I don't know enough about this or how to do so. But we must become more aware, more active. Join a campaigning group, one that seems to fit in with your own ethos. I'm not suggesting you start sitting down on the M25 during rush hour or gluing yourself to railings outside 10 Downing Street. This just antagonises. But how about joining a group such as Green Christians, who seek to live gently on the earth, to encourage one another in discipleship, which accepts our impact on God's creation as a whole? Their website is full of ideas and themes and blogs to read and inform. In addition, our churches within the Diocese of Southwark are getting involved. The diocese is heeding the motion put forward by the Church of England in 2020, which calls for churches to reduce their emissions year on year, aiming for a target of net zero by 2030 at the latest. This still sounds a bit like a pipe dream, and 2030 is getting nearer. But the Diocese of Southwark has taken it fully on board. There is plenty of advice on the step-by-step processes needed for churches to reach a carbon neutral status. And lots of help from the charity Our Rosha. The diocese is using their framework to help churches with this. And each individual church can work towards awards that acknowledge the work that's been achieved. St. Margaret's was involved in all this long before there was a general acceptance that climate change was really happening. Phil Jackson suggested an eco group some 6 years ago, and we enthusiastically started trying to work towards the Eco Bronze Award, which was the first stage of the Eco Church strategy. But because our church is listed, and such an old one, and isn't situated in an urban setting, there was a limit to what we could do, and we never quite reached that award, through no fault of our own, I hasten to add. But things have changed. Not only is climate change now more widely accepted as happening, but there is much greater cooperation between parishes, deaneries, and the diocese. Who'd have thought that solar panelling on listed churches would ever be allowed? It seems possible now. We're planning to start up the Eco Group again with renewed vigour and lots more help than was available last time. It's going to become an important group that can make suggestions to the PCC on how St. Margaret's, we, the church family, and as individuals, can show our love for our planet and achieve what we can in the face of the threats facing us all. There are other reasons too. For the sake of our integrity, we want to be able to look our children and grandchildren in the eye so they will know we did our best. Because we should all tread more lightly on the planet, but as members of affluent Western society, we tread far more heavily than most of the world's population. Because this is how movements grow. Do it, talk about it, get others to do it too. Because we live in a democracy with freedom of speech, so ultimately, we hope, we can push, pull, or drag our politicians, if necessary, into taking action. Christ urge us to purify our hearts. Another psalm, Psalm 24, tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But only he who has clean hands and a pure heart can ascend the hill of the Lord. This means having a clear conscience. So what are you going to do to have that clear conscience? Well, joining or supporting our eco group would be a great start. Joining a green Christian movement would be another. Working out your own carbon footprint with a carbon calculator, then making a real effort to reduce it. It's up to you, but we owe it to our planet, don't we?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee and to thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins of wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who with great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul says. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John said. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and you respond, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet right and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. You might take a moment now to get some bread and some wine so that you can take this in a spiritual fashion. We know we can't take it physically together, but we can join together spiritually. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, with thy tender mercy, didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he brake it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Deborah, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Taking this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy body by thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is also the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. We join together in worshipping God in the words of the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou who sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.